with Alisham Halaza, and who is Armenian from Baku, Azerbaijan. And today is September 17th, 1998, and this is the Immigrants of Bowling Green Oral History Project. Tell me a little bit about Baku, where you're from.
Oh, okay. Baku is the capital of Azerbaijan, and Azerbaijan is one of 15 republics of the former USSR. It is a big city with millions, maybe 3 or 4 million people living in Baku. It is the oil industry city. And the climate is like in Bowling Green. It's very hot in summertime. And it's snowing maybe 2 or 3 days in winter. So actually very, very hot climate. And a lot of fruits and vegetables growing in Azerbaijan.
Did you live in a neighborhood there in the city? Or?
Yes, actually I lived in the district where Armenian people used to live. Yes, and I live in the, it's not like apartment, but we had 20 families, and we were very, very good friends. And in every family at least has 3 children. So if you multiply, actually the average size is 5 people in a family. So I get used to live among 100 and 120 people who became your close friends. And we celebrate always together, all birthday parties and wedding parties and everything together.
What were the most important holidays?
Well, the most important holidays in Russia are the 1st of May. Maybe you know this holiday. And the March of 8th, this is the International Women's Day.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then, of course, New Year. But we celebrate it on 31st of December. This is the most lovely holiday among all Russians. And so we celebrated 23rd of February as the Soviet Army Day. That was another another holiday.
What did you do on that day?
On Soviet Army Day, you know, everybody stayed home. We had parties, so we danced, and we had music, and we have, you know, good food. We were talking and enjoy a holiday. Usually, when we have holidays, we don't work, and it's paid holidays. So in Russia, we had a lot of other holidays, like we had a day of newspaper, a day of radio, a day of TV, and all these things, but we keep on working. But on the holidays which I said to you before, we didn't work.
Okay.
It was payoff holiday. That's why we enjoyed them so much.
Right. Do you still celebrate something like the February 23rd?
No, not now. You know, first when we moved here, maybe a year or two, we celebrate all Russian holidays. And then, I don't know why, we now celebrate American holidays. And sometimes we forget about Russian. Yeah, and one day I remember my brother called on March 8th, and we completely forget that it was a Women's Day. And so he had to remind us. He said, "Oh, congratulations, and I wish you health and happiness." And we said, "Lola, what was happening?" He said, "Oh, you forget already? Oh, yeah, I forget. You're Americans now. Of course you forget all Russian holidays." But actually, we celebrate both of them, and Russian and American holidays.
What year did you come to Bowling Green?
Why I come?
What year?
Oh, I came on May 22nd, 1992.
How did you arrange to come to the United States?
There was a war between Armenia and Azerbaijan. And we actually, my family is thousands of other Armenians had to escape to Armenia because we were persecuted. And actually we lost everything, all our property, money, and we had three houses, everything. And we just escaped to Armenia. But the day when we came, it was on the eve of earthquake in Armenia.
Right.
Yes, and it was another disaster for our motherland. And so Armenia couldn't provide us any shelter, no work. Actually, I worked there, but I had a temporary job.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a politics that time that we Armenians moved back to Azerbaijan, but it meant death. You know, we couldn't do that. And then we heard that the American government has a quota for Armenian people. And so we went to American embassy in Russia, in Moscow, and we just fill out application and we were waiting for interview. So we applied in 1989, and in 1990, yes, I got an invitation for an interview in Moscow. So we went there, all our family, it was winter day. I had a telegram from my brother that I should be urgently in Moscow because of this interview, and it was very, very difficult to get a ticket, airplane ticket, because there was no energy, and Armenia was in economic, we'll say, blockade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was cut all over the Russia. It was very, very difficult to get to Moscow, and it was a very, very cold winter. So eventually we got tickets for train, and in 2 days and a half we were in Moscow. And then we went to an embassy and we had an interview. We were lucky to get a permission to come to America because we had a very good evidence. My mother was severely beaten, and she suffered very much, and she was hospitalized. All these kind of things, and there was an article in an Armenian newspaper about my mom and about our family, because we were the first Armenian, you know, who were beaten and all property was taken, but we were the first. And after that, you know, thousands and thousands of Armenians had the same fate. And maybe because of that, there was an article about my mom. So, and we have a man in the embassy who read the article, and so he gave us a permission to come to America. And it took maybe one more year or a year and a half, you know, to fill out all papers and to be ready to come to America. So eventually, May 22nd, 1992, we arrived in America.
Who all came?
My mom, dad, and my sister and I. My brother stayed in Moscow with his family. He stayed in Moscow and he's still living over there. But every summer he came with his family to visit us.
How about the trip over?
It was the most difficult trip, because it almost takes 12 hours. 12 hours. And though, you know, they will show you some movie, and you have a lot of newspapers and magazines, and all time they propose you something to drink or something to eat, you know, but still it takes, as I said, 12 hours. And especially, you know, whenever here's the daytime, in Russia it's nighttime. And because of that you didn't sleep whole night.
Mm-hmm.
And you're back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Back in time. And when we came first here, we couldn't sleep at night time because it was daytime in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some time to adjust time.
Did you fly into Nashville or?
Oh, yes, yes. We fly from Moscow to Frankfurt, which is in Germany, not our Frankfurt.
Okay.
Yes, to Germany, and then we change airplane and from Frankfurt to Nashville. And people from Refugee Center, and Martha Deputy, she's the director of the Refugee Center at Bowling Green, she met us in the airport, and three other Russian-Armenian people. So when I came first, I thought that hardly I will find any Russian in Bowling Green. And all of a sudden, in the airport, I heard the Russian speech, and it was some kind of relief, so after that, I became acknowledged that there were almost 20 Russian families in Bowling Green before our arrival.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it was.
You talked about Marty Deputy
mm-hmm.
helping you out in the Refugee Center. How about other people? Was there like a group or did they get together for a group or a welcoming?
Yeah, there were all three other Armenian people who came to welcome us along with Martha's deputy.
Oh.
And the first 3 months we lived in her house in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
But we had no transportation. But all our people, they visited us, and they gave us a ride, and so we were able to go for shopping. And so a lot of people helped us.
What were you able to bring with you?
Okay. Almost nothing, because we were allowed to bring 32 kilograms
mm-hmm.
per person. I would like to bring all my books and all my dictionaries, and I had a good collection of books on art, because art is my hobby. And it was real some kind of fight, because whenever you package things, and it's so difficult to select something, because everything is connected. It's a memory.
Mm-hmm.
I should be very, 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 selective in this way. And we brought some necessary things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even blankets. We didn't know what to bring, and we brought, some clothes, and, utilities, like spoons and forks and plates, because they were from Russia, and they have another ornament. And we would like to have some things which we are accustomed to, because it helps you,
mm-hmm.
to adjust in new situation.
Okay.
Not a lot of things.
So when you moved, you were living here with, was it an Armenian family that you said you were living with in the basement?
Oh, no, with Martha Deputy.
With Martha Deputy,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what that was like in the basement.
First time when we came, basement is the basement, and you don't have windows, and sometimes, and because of that difference in day and night,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't know it's day or night. Not our biological clock said it to us. We have no windows, and sometimes we were just sleeping, and we get out, and oh gosh, it was 3 that afternoon. Or it was 4 o'clock. we were in time mess for a while, and so then eventually. But what we liked, she had, and she has now a beautiful garden and flowers, and her house is like in a small forest, and so she allowed my father to have a garden.
Mm-hmm.
So he planted all kinds of vegetables and flowers, and so we took care of the garden, and we walk around a lot, waiting for some letters, some news from our motherland. And I remember that I like she has huge, tall Asian trees. I mean, and they are so big, and you feel so little, small, in comparison with these trees. And I like to walk among these trees, and in my mind, I just tell the story. How I came here in America and how it is for the first steps in America, this is the way how I decided to write to my friends, to my other relatives, to describe the life in America. It was like, you know, working around the trees and thinking, and that was a good time.
Yeah, it really mm-hmm. to write.
Mm-hmm.
You stayed there for
3 months.
3 months. What was your first place like? When you, was it an apartment, a home?
After Martha Deputy's residence, living there, we moved to Western Green Apartments.
Mm-hmm.
It was on September 6, 1992. And from that time till nowadays, we are living in the same apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there were, you know, a lot of other Russian people living in the same apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes our life easy and enjoyable because, you know, we unique time we met together and we went to grocery together and we feel some closeness.
How about before you came to Bowling Green, when you were in Moscow and you wonder about what it would be like here, or what did you imagine Bowling Green would be like, or Kentucky?
You know, actually, I didn't know. Whenever you got permission to come to America,
mm-hmm.
you don't know the place of your destination unless you have relatives, and they ask you, is there any special place in America where you can go? And because we are the first among our relatives who came to America, we had no choice. It was, you know, all the same for us
mm-hmm.
to went to California, to be in the California or Kentucky or some other place. We said no. And so when we came to buy a ticket, they said, okay, you have to buy a ticket to Nashville and you will live in Bowling Green. It is she said, KW. I said, no, there is no state with KW, how it comes. She said, oh, wait a little bit. And she moved up and she looked at the USA map and she thought, oh, sorry, it's KY. I said, oh, it's Kentucky. Well, Bowling Green, oh, I never heard about Bowling Green. But I know Kentucky, yes, it's famous for its horses and chicken and basketball. Yeah, that's all what I knew. And I was lucky because the 2-3 days later, there was a program on Moscow TV about Kentucky. So, and I said, Bowling Green, it should green. It means that a lot of trees, it should be a very green town
mm-hmm.
or a city. And so when we came first, you know, we were driving through the Scottsville Road and we said, now, where is the city? Where is the city? Because, you know, on TV, we always say, like, Chicago, San Francisco, big cities, you know. And they said, yes, Bowling Green. Yes, you're on almost on the central street of Bowling Green. And first time, it was a shock. And, you know, after these big cities, I lived in Baku, the capital mm-hmm. of Azerbaijan. And then in Armenia, and then for a while in Moscow, you know, millions and millions of people, huge towns. And all of a sudden, you are in Bowling Green, a small, small town. And first time, you know, there was desire to go to somewhere else, you know, to move to some other place. But the more I lived in Bowling Green, the more I loved this city. And even now, I had a choice to move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want. I don't. I like Bowling Green very, very much, and I like people here. They are smiling and they are very. I mean, you know, here it's like, you know, everybody and everybody knows you, and even when we drive to Nashville or Louisville, I won't be back. Bollinger, I want to be back to my home. And I graduated from Western Kentucky University in May 1998. And yeah, you know, it's so difficult to find a job by your specialty. You have to send your resume all over the America.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want. I sent a resume in Bowling Green. I want to stay here, definitely. And maybe because I enjoy my job. I like Western Kentucky University so much. I enjoy teaching the Russian language, yes. I even like the smell of this building. Yeah, I always dream to stay in this building.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I had a music appreciation class and art appreciation an art class, maybe these classes, I like it so much. I enjoy it, these classes.
Yes.
And I wanted to stay in the Ivan Wilson building.
Ivan Wilson is a fine
person. So I was so happy to find a job here. And I don't want to move to other place, no. I like Bowling Green.
What did you graduate in with your degree?
It's bachelor's degree in public health education.
And so you're trying to find a public health job as well as teaching?
Yeah. I tried, but it's so difficult to find in Bowling Green.
Mm-hmm.
And today I have a very good news, because from Monday I will start working at the Heart Center of Bowling Green. As a medical assistant.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah,
excellent.
As a medical assistant.
Good.
And
good.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy
that
I have to stay here. And I find, you know, work in a health-related area. And after that, maybe I will be more lucky and find a job by my specialty.
Yeah.
But still it is in the health field.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm very happy.
What did you do before, when you were in Europe? What was your job?
Oh, I was a scientific translator.
Okay.
Yeah, and I worked from 1970 till 1989, 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at the Institute of Physics.
Mm-hmm.
Then that institute was expanded, and we had another Institute of Applied Physics. So I just moved from Institute of Physics to Institute of Applied Physics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a scientific translator. Then, because of war, I moved to Armenia. And again, I was lucky to find a job by the same specialty.
Mm-hmm.
I worked again at the Institute of Physics, now of Armenian Republic. So, and all my life I was translating scientific articles,
mm-hmm.
books on physics, on semiconductor devices, nuclear weapons, all kind of these things.
And when you first got to Bowling Green, did you know English when you first got
here? Yes, because actually I graduated from the Institute of Foreign Languages,
mm-hmm.
in Baku.
Okay.
And I was a teacher of the English language in high school. Yes, but because I worked at the Institute of Applied Physics, and that was a secret institute, actually I could not speak English. I mean, I can translate it, you know. I knew English in the written form very well, but I was not allowed to speak with the foreigners. So when I came to Bowling Green, arrived in Bowling Green, it's like, you know, start talking only from that moment.
It was hard.
Yeah, it was very hard. It was very hard, especially there. And in Baku, in Russia, you study the London dialect.
Mm.
You know, and you came in America, it's quite different language. And at first it was very difficult, and people here speak so fast. And, you know, another dialect. Oh, but being a week or two, you became accustomed to that. And I could understand almost 90% of what people were speaking. But before that, it was like, you know, oh, gosh, I know this language, but I couldn't understand these people. I mean, I understand maybe only two or three words out of a sentence. Yeah, but then I watched TV and I discovered, oh, I can understand more and more, and then in 2 weeks I was okay.
Which shows did you watch on TV?
Actually, they didn't have cable TV, mm-hmm. I mean, in basement, so we watch local channels, and we watch all kinds of soap opera. How do you call them?
Yeah, soap opera.
Yes, like a General Hospital. You
yes,
know?
Those are mine.
Yeah, yeah.
ABC.
Yeah, and we watch, you know, Bowling Green Weather Channel, mm-hmm. and News Channel, and that's it.
Did how about the rest of your family? Did they speak English at all?
No, they didn't speak at all. No. My sister, she studied the French language, and my mom and dad, they didn't speak English. But my mom, she attended English classes at the refugee center.
Uh-huh.
So, and then she just quit because it was very difficult. When you're over 65, it's very difficult to study the foreign language. But at least she remembers something. She can explain that I'm not at home or can't say where I am. At least when they went to Russia in 1995, she was able to explain that she needs to change her airplane and that she needs help.
Uh-huh.
And she told everything in English, so they survived. It was difficult for it was a difficult trip for them.
Mm-hmm.
My father said, "Oh, she was good. If not your mom, we would be lost in the airport." She knows a little bit English.
They came back or did they live in
No,
Russia?
They lived here.
They live here.
We
okay.
live together.
Okay.
We live together. Yes.
When you first got here, what was your first job that you did?
I was a glass cutter, and I worked at the Eagle Industries. Eagle Industries, yes, we made furniture. It was very difficult for me because, you know, if you work almost 20 years as a scientific worker, and if you work with papers only, you know, and all of a sudden you are in another country and you have to start again from zero,
mm-hmm.
you know. And first I like it very much because I did something different,
mm-hmm.
and I can create something with my hands. After 7 months of working there, I realized that it's not interesting for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course I know how to do furniture, how to polish it, and you know, some secrets of furniture production, how to do that. But eventually I wanted to use my brain, and I wanted, you know, somehow I'm very grateful to America because we were in bad condition, and this is the country which accepted us, and I wanted to give my best to this country, you know. And the furniture factory, I think that everybody can work. And I want to use my brain also, my experience also, and to give as much as possible to this country. And so I decided to go and to study again. And that was my third university. Helsinki Tech University is my third university. So all my life I was just studying. Because I graduated from two universities in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to work, and after Eagle Industries I worked at the Rekhodzis in a restaurant where I worked on Saturdays and Sundays, and the rest time I was a full-time student.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was difficult because I was not young at that time, and it's the second language. Even if you study the language, you know, you should live in that country in order, you know, to speak the language, in that language. So, and it was really difficult for me. But that was my goal, and I am lucky and I'm happy that I accomplished my goal.
How did you get the job here at the university?
At the university? I heard that they need somebody, because Manya Ritter, she was teaching the Russian language maybe for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm not accurate, but I know that she was teaching many, many years the Russian language, and now she started teaching the French language. And so I decided that I can apply my knowledge, a little knowledge of the English language and good knowledge of the Russian language. And so I just put my resume, and I made an appointment with Dr. Baldwin, and I had an interview with him, and I've got a job. It's a part-time job, but I really was very happy. And I'm happy, still happy,
yeah.
Very happy,
yeah.
That I'm working here.
How about driving when you got here? Were you driving in Baku?
No.
Okay.
No. So many things I have to study in America. so many things, and you know, sometimes I think, really, this is the land of opportunity. Because I didn't know that I can make a furniture,
uh-huh.
Or I can work at the restaurant and know, you know, how the restaurant works. And then I have to learn how to drive the car. And here at the university, I have to study computer,
mm-hmm.
and visual aids. Many, many things you have to study in America. And I'm grateful because your life became so interesting. It's challenging every time to learn something. And you know, oh yes, I'm capable of doing that and that, and it's just great.
It's hard sometimes.
Yeah, hard, but it's great. Well, whenever you do that, it's good.
Okay, I'm going to take a minute to turn the tape over here.
Okay, oh, I was talking so...
We were talking a little bit about some of the different things. How about shopping or cooking, learning... how to get the food that you want to eat?
It was a great experiment because actually everything looks the same vegetables, the same fruits, but they taste differently, quite
okay.
Different, yeah. And it's so difficult for us to find a food which we're accustomed to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you will go and you will like some product, some
mm-hmm.
food, and you will buy it. And come home, and you spend money, and you start eating it absolutely as another favor. So, and now we know what to buy. At least, you know, first you go through experiment,
mm-hmm.
and you taste different food, and eventually you find the food which you like. And we cook, of course, we like the American food.
Yes.
Also very much because we went to the restaurants and especially with I went to Unitarian Church,
uh-huh.
and after church we went to have a lunch in some place. Actually every Sunday I
mm-hmm.
had an opportunity to go to some place and to eat,
uh-huh.
and I like American food. Actually it's not only American food, it's food all over, from all over the world,
right?
Yeah, but still we cook an Armenian food and Russian food and America. It,
mm-hmm.
it depends what we want to eat on a particular day.
Where do you get the
ingredients?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Now we have we can find that in Walmart, in Kroger, and recently we had an international store here in Bowling Green,
mm-hmm.
and so we can buy Russian food in the Russian grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or sometimes, you know, our friends or we drive to Nashville or to Louisville, they also have Russian grocery stores.
Oh, okay.
And we will buy food over there. But that's occasionally,
mm-hmm.
because of some holiday or some, you know, some special event.
Right.
But in every day we eat the same food.
We talked a little bit about holidays. What about like for a for an American holiday like Easter? Or did you celebrate Easter?
Oh yeah, we also celebrate that in Russia and Armenia.
Okay. And I know what it is at the end. Thanksgiving.
Oh, Thanksgiving. First, we didn't know anything about this holiday. And first year we didn't celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know. And then, you know, we had friends who were working at the woodwork of Mid America, and they came home with turkey. So we became known that we have to eat, but everybody eats turkey. Why not? We also will eat turkey. especially, you know, my birthday is on November 29th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's close to November 27th.
Yeah.
So we start eating turkey from November 27th and continue till November 29th. Yeah, and we celebrate. And first time when we came, we didn't know anything about Halloween.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we were scared. You know, we didn't know anything about that. And somebody knocked the door.
Oh no.
Yeah, and we opened the door and they were, you know, children in masks, and they were saying something we couldn't understand what they were saying, you know. and we said, we have to give them something. They want something, but we don't know what they want. What does it mean, trick or track? We don't know what does it mean. And they said, I'll translate for us. I said, I don't know. And then our neighbor next to our door, he just came out and said, Allah, yeah, do you want to give these children some candies, chocolate? And I said, oh, yeah, that's what they wanted? Okay, we have it. Yes, but next holiday, next year, we know already, so we went. And we buy a lot of candies and cookies and everything. And so we were ready.
Uh-huh.
That time we all, you know, just went to the door and looked through the window. Where they are? Why they didn't come? We are ready this year. So now we celebrate now all Americans for the and especially Independence Day.
Yeah.
Yes, we always celebrate. And this year we, my brother's family came from Moscow. And so we came here. We were on campus, so we watched salute.
Mm-hmm.
That was a wonderful salute. We celebrate all American holidays.
Yeah. What did they think of the Independence Day or July 4th?
We?
The brothers.
Oh, the brothers. Oh, and they said that you are lucky that you are living in America.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can celebrate that. That in the end day, it's really a very important event in the history of America.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that holiday we like most of all.
Yeah.
Holidays.
How about something like May 1st? The
here?
Workers' Day, yeah. I know they don't celebrate it here, but...
Labor Day?
Yeah. It's a little different.
Yeah, over there in Russia we have a demonstration and people just, you know, went to the streets. You know, you meet, if you work in some place, and the people of your organization or agency, they meet together, and then they have a special place like a Red Square or square by Lenin. At that time, every town has a square by the name of Lenin. And it was a demonstration of what, I don't know what. Because we were obliged to go there. I don't know, maybe we didn't understand what does it mean. It was like, you know, everybody goes and you also participate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And you know that it's holiday, that you don't work.
Right.
But when you grow up, you realize, yes, this is a Labor Day, and people all over the world celebrate that day. And now this holiday has a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And now we celebrate Labor Day in America on September This year it was on September
7th. But here we don't go get together necessarily. We just go with our families and barbecue or what would you miss the most about Bowling Green if you went back to your...
What I will miss in Bowling Green? People. And it's so clean town. It's a nice, peaceful place to live. And you feel so comfortable living in Bowling Green. It's safe. You feel that you are safe in this place. And it became my hometown. And of course, if I will miss Bowling Green.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed it when I was in Russia in 1996. I went to visit my brother. And I stayed there for a month and a half. And during the summer vacation, summer break at the university. Yes. And even I was tired of staying in Moscow for a while, you know, and I wanted to be back to a quiet, nice, green Bowling Green.
How about Baku? You talked a little bit about some of the things that you've gone on.
Actually, after all these events and after war, I don't know. I never after that remember Baku. You know, it is like I never lived there. It's like, you know, it was cut. It's like something was cut through your heart. And it does not exist for me anymore. Because of all these you know, sacrifices and deaths. And whenever if you were in a war, you will never, you know, think about the place again with good memories.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want, you know, you don't want to remember anything, not good and not bad, because it was so bad that actually it crossed out everything good which was before. Because if I want to remember something good, after that, I will. Remember something bad also, and that's why I just cut this period of my life, as if, you know, I start again my life here in America.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's easier to do than people who haven't done that?
I think a lot of our people, I mean, the older generation. They remember and they wanted sometimes to go back to Baku, though it's impossible to be there now because you will be killed at once.
Mm-hmm.
But and the young generation, they were so happy, and I among them, because here you start again, you know, you start working, you start learning, you start a new life. But as for my dad and mom and the rest of them, it's very difficult because they are not busy like we are. So they get up in the morning, do something around the house, and they are free. And so the memories just, you know, flash into your mind, and it's difficult for them to forget this city, but not for me. I try not to remember.
Mm-hmm. How about you were telling about the story about your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that, do you want to tell that?
It was actually, you know, we didn't know anything about the war. It was like one day you wake up and you hear that thousands of Armenian people were killed in Sumgayit. This is the second town in Azerbaijan,
mm-hmm.
only because they were Armenian and only because they were Christian people. And then just after the demonstration, they came to kill you. And you can see old people and children and the woman who were thrown through balconies, who were burned by fire, and who were seducted. I mean, just were killed. And you had to escape. And it's very difficult, especially I remember the day when my brother was fortunate to get 3 tickets so we can fly to Armenia. And there were almost half million of Armenian people living in Baku. And can you imagine that half of million have to rush because it's war? And airplane, how many people it can carry? So, and it was extremely difficult to get a ticket to airplane to save your life. And early in the morning, you have to take a taxi. And a taxi driver, if you will know that you are Armenian, he will just, you know, will not take you to an airplane or can just kill you. So it was like, you know, who escaped this town as if we were thieves? Early in the morning, you know, and we tried to take a taxi, so the taxi driver will not be an Azerbaijan, it should be the Russian or Russian, or I don't know, I speak Azerbaijan language with Azerbaijan dialect, so they couldn't recognize that you are not an Azerbaijan to survive. But my brother here, he was talented, and he's talented with languages, and so he speak like he was in Azerbaijan, and that's why he took us to airport, because he had no hint that we were Christian, that we were Armenian. And so we just came to airport, and there were hundreds of people, and you know, the one airplane and 100 sold tickets. And it was like a bus, you know, you can, and people were not only sitting, but some people were standing, or they were sitting between the rows in airplane. So more people were able, how to say that, and so this airplane took more people than it should be taken.
In this was whose airplane was it?
It was Azerbaijan airplane. That was the last flight.
The last one.
Mm-hmm, the last one. And then you can use only train, but it was very dangerous to take a train because they throw stones through the window, they stop the train, and they rush into the train, you know, and kill people in the train. Yeah, I was very lucky, yes. But my mom and dad, they still stay in Baku. My brother, he helped me and my sister to move to Armenia. But mom and dad, they stay in Baku because we had 3 houses and we wanted to sell them or to exchange them. But it became worse and worse, and that's all, they had just to escape, leave everything. And actually, they didn't even ask us. They just took our property, took our house, everything, our money, jewelry, everything. You know, we just had something, some clothes on. Some people were, you know, just in slippers, and it was in a winter time for other people, like my aunt. She went in the underground and in slippers, and she got a pneumonia, and she was hospitalized in Armenia and stayed there for many, many, many months. And then she just died. And actually she got her papers ready to come to America, but she couldn't survive after all these events. And many, 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 many Armenian young people, they died because of heart attack, a lot of stress. And it was not immediately after war, but it was in several years after war that we heard, oh, that man was died, and another, and another. And they were young. They were young, but it was a terrible period of life, and many could not survive.
So how did your parents make it to Armenia then?
Ah, by that time, you know, my dad, actually Armenia is near Baku, Azerbaijan,
mm-hmm.
but he took a train and he was like, you know, traveling around, changing the trains. And eventually when he came to Armenia, we could not recognize our father because he lost his weight so much. And it was like he was in a concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
He looked terrible. And we, you know, for 5 days he just disappeared. We didn't know if he will eventually got to Armenia or not because of this war. And so we keep on calling to Baku, to some of our friends, or to relatives, or to my brother to Moscow. Maybe father got to Moscow, somehow he was able to go to Moscow. And so in 5 days he came and we opened the door and here is my father. But it was very difficult to recognize him. It was like another man standing in front of you. And I said, Dad, well, why? Why you look so terrible? He said, Daughter, I'm a leaf and I came here for 5 days. It took me 5 days to come to Yerevan. I said, it's impossible. It takes only one night. It's night train trip mm-hmm. to Armenia. He said, 5 days. I had to change train, you know, and go forth and back because of war. And he said, I had nothing to eat because they took all my money, and he had only a cookie,
mm-hmm.
some cookies, mm-hmm. and he ate these cookies for 5 days. And when he came, he has a small piece of cookie left in his parcel. And that's him. And I said, and where is mom? He said, okay, mom is still in Baku, but I came to see if you are okay. And I will left, so I will go for your mother. This time I have to rescue and go for your mother. She stay alone there. And then someday I came and they called me home and said that I should go home immediately. And then I came and my mom, she turned her head to the wall. So I couldn't see her face. And said, Mom, you are here? And I said, turn your head. Why you are not looking at me? And when she turned her face, it just, you know, I stopped crying because her head was twice of the normal size because she was heavily beaten by maybe 10 or 15 young Azerbaijan people who were given all kinds of drugs so they can go kill, beat and kill people.
Mm-hmm.
They were normal people. I mean, they were high school students or students at the university, and they were just saying, go and kill Armenian people. And they had no choice, and so they were given all kinds of drugs. We call that anasha. It's like a marijuana.
Okay.
Anasha. And they had all these drugs, and now they're brave. They don't afraid anybody and anything. And they went and started killing people. And so 10 or 15 people were beating her. And she had a diamond earring. And they wanted to take her earring. And one was very easy to open, and she gave it to him. But another one, she could not open it because her hands were shaking. She was shaking her body. And he wanted to cut her ear with knife to take
mm-hmm.
this diamond jewelry,
mm-hmm.
Earring, and she said, oh, please don't cut my ear, I will give it to you, just wait a little, I will open it. And so they opened and she was bleeding, and they went, they gone, they took everything, and they gone, and my mother, she was bleeding for several hours, lying on the floor, and nobody can help her, because at that time, all Armenian people were left. And non-Azerbaijan was helping her. And she could not even go to the hospital because there also were Azerbaijan people who can kill her because she survived. So actually she was healing by herself for 2 weeks and she was waiting till my father came and took her back to Armenia with him. this time. So, and eventually we met everybody in Armenia. And we were living there. It was very difficult. Really very difficult it was to live there because you have to find a place and you have no money. You had no money and you couldn't buy a house. You couldn't rent an apartment, not nothing. Just some people, they were so kind. They allow us to live in their house. And we were living there and living and hoping that someday we will move to America. And so we were really lucky that we eventually got to America. We were allowed to come here.
Yeah.
And we start our life again.
It's good.
Yeah.
The garden.
Yeah, thank you.
Very painful. Mm-hmm. Well, do you now that you live here, do you have any Muslim friends, or do you deal with that here at all?
No, we have. We
yeah.
have Muslim people because you know before that we were in good relationships before that
yeah.
and all of a sudden everything was changed
yeah.
you know and some Muslim people they help us
yeah
you know some friends they help us and to find tickets you know to give they give us money
mm-hmm.
But not everybody actually Muslim people who knew you they will help you
uh-huh.
but the rest who do not know you they will kill you. And now here in Bowling Green we have a Muslim family
mm-hmm.
and we are friends and we have parties together.
It's not an issue.
No.
You would blame, what would you blame?
Politics. I mean people who want power, who want money, because common people, they don't want war.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of some dirty politics. And people suffer from war, but some other people they gain money because they sold weapons
mm-hmm.
and you know all these things about war.
Yeah. Well, in the future, other family members may listen to this tape. What do you want to tell them about what you wanted for them?
For people who will come to America?
Yeah.
Oh, I say that God bless America.
Yes.
And if you come, and this is a land of great opportunity, and if you come, if you have a possibility to come, don't hesitate. You can start again. It's difficult. But eventually, if you will work hard, and if you will study hard, eventually you will get what you deserve.
You think?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I think. So...
do you have anything else that you'd like to add? Any more stories?
Actually, I wanted to say that whenever you will meet Armenian people all over the world, they start from building their own church, Armenian church, and
mm-hmm.
they will have their newspaper and children starting their Armenian language. And Armenian people are very creative people and hardworking people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will try to do our best for America, for
yes.
this country.
We're interrupting. We need to conclude the interview because I think we're interrupting
a
class.
Yes, I just want to say thank you very much
for
interviewing me.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
If I can somehow, you know, to help other people on the experience of my life, I would be glad, you know, to... say to everybody that welcome to America.
Well, this has been very, very, very moving.
Yes. Thank you.